Now, do we need digital detox? You may have read in the advertisers today of Randy Zuckerberg, the brother of Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, saying it's getting ridiculous, and she was citing a child who thought grandpa lived in the computer because she was so frequently Skyping grandpa in the computer. Stilgarian, the famous Stilgarian, is a freelance technology journalist and former 891 employee. Welcome, Stilgarian.
Good morning, Peter.
How are you, kiddo?
Look, I'm surviving this morning, thanks. I hope you're doing okay.
I'm glad to have you on. Well, you know, I go away every year to a place where I have no technology, and I'm starting to fear not having that 1 month a year that I don't have any emails or phone calls, and I can occasionally send a text on a borrowed phone. And I find that very refreshing still.
Well,
Gary,
it's called a holiday, I think, isn't it? It's called a holiday, and we used to be able to have them in the days. And I don't think this is to do with the internet. This is to do, in part, with changing work practices. I mean, it used to be that when you're on holidays, your boss could not contact you because you're away. And now we have an electronic leash, as it were, back to the office.
Yes.
And supposedly it gives us flexibility. You see all the TV ads for the technology. They show people sitting by the pool with their laptop computer.
Yes.
Hang on. No, this isn't freedom. This is ruining my day by the pool.
Mm. And I've had an iPhone for about 15 months, I think, a smartphone, and so I can access my emails, my work emails, all day long, and so I do. Mm. So you're working more at home, but it saves me, instead of when I come in here of having 250 emails to go through, I only have 30, because I'm on it all the time. But it means, essentially, you're working more.
You're working more hours, but possibly less intensely.
On your own terms, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Look, it does create that flexibility. I find it interesting that Randy Zuckerberg is using this term digital detox, because it implies that there's a tox, if you like, that there is something innately toxic.
And I think there are people. I know people who live through Facebook, who live through their computer.
And it is the aim of Facebook for you to spend as much time as possible there. I mean, that's how they get their money, through the advertising.
It's become their life. Mm. But by the same token, I know young people in the early 20s, mid-20s, who seem to have dealt with it very well and use it as it should be used, as a tool, but are still able to socialise without it.
Well, yes, and this is the interesting thing. The great writer of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Douglas Adams, once said, and I haven't got the exact quote in front of me right now because I've only just remembered it, but he said, look, you know, the technology that existed when you were born and you grew up with is perfectly normal. The technology that happens later in life you see as this great evil and it's changing the world and you don't understand it. Mm. Do you remember, I mean, the 1960s sitcoms, the classic American sitcoms, would ridicule the teenagers who were upstairs on the telephone all day.
Yes, yes.
Except, well, of course they were, because after World War II, in that kind of baby boomer age, those kids in the 1960s were growing up out in the suburbs. They didn't have a town centre to go to socialise with their peers. And that vital upstairs telephone was the way they stayed in touch.
And and it's no different to telephones, are just more accessible and more portable.
That's right. And I find the language around detox interesting. I think people do need to find their own balance of how they spend their time.
Mm.
And one of the key features of the kind of technologies that we have now is that allows us to stay in touch. You know, where are you now? I'm getting the milk, or I'm on the train, or, you know, so-and-so has posted a new baby picture and all of those things, which we want to see.
Mm.
And as social creatures, we actually have a section of our brain that is designed to keep track of all of the social relationships around us.
Mm.
And so if there is something happening and we don't know about it, you know, does this new baby affect my social standing?
FOMO.
FOMO, fear of missing out. And it's a real thing. And, you know, our Stone Age brains are designed to make sure we don't miss out on important social information. Mm-hmm. And we've all just been handed a device which allows us to have this social information 24/7. I mean, it's like handing crack to a baby. It really is. And I suppose in that metaphor, I'm seeing Facebook as the biggest crack dealer on the planet.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't get Twitter, again, as a tool. It doesn't sort of interest me, really. I was saying to my team here, Robbie Brecken and John Thompson Mills, whom you know still, Gary, I tend to look at Facebook if I'm in a rare bored moment. And then I find that I'm being shopped, that a lot of it is promotional. You know, coming up on the news tonight, we have dot, 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 that sort of thing. I'm really not learning all that much.
Yeah, look, I use Twitter quite heavily myself. It certainly performs a useful role in reporting on what's happening in the technology field and being able to get a very rapid view of what people are thinking about a certain topic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have no qualms at all about turning it off for a few days.
Yeah.
And the example I give there is that it's a bit like looking out the window and hearing the sound of the street and whether people are having a good day or a bad day. Mm-hmm. It's useful to have that view on the world. But if you sit there looking out the window all day, you're really not being a productive or helpful member of society, and you're probably not doing yourself much good either.
But I suppose it's the people who would rather look at a picture of the beach on the computer than go to the beach.
Well, yes, and it's slightly off topic, but the thing I find fascinating is when someone's at a concert or royal visit or whatever, they're too busy taking pictures of it to actually enjoy the experience itself.
Or sitting on the mobile phones.
Well, yeah, and the irony is there's actually some research being done which says, yes, if you are busy trying to make sure you've got the perfect photograph of the event, you actually will remember it less. You will have less of an emotional recall of the event than the, gosh, wow, I saw the Queen go past in her carriage. Instead, you've got this memory of fiddling with your camera.
And selfies are devised by the devil.
Now, Peter, look back at your grandparents' photograph album and what were they? They're pictures of, here I am at the wedding, here I am at the beach, here I am at the royal show. You know, selfies, selfies were all the things.
No, no. They didn't have to put up with drunks invading your personal space, breathing in your face, cheek by jowl, while they can't focus.
Where are you hanging
about?
Oh, well. Who are these people?
Seinfeld said, we're going to do a whole session on this because it led to a huge debate about political correctness and comedy on the evening show, on Monday night, in fact. But he said he bans mobile phones at his stand-up comedy concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to leave them at the door. And he says, people say, oh, but I need it. And he says, you only need your mobile phone because you think you're important. And they say, no, 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 it's not us important, but our friends are important. And what they're doing and saying is important to us. And Seinfeld said, well, if they're so important, why do you scroll through them like a gay French king? And he made that gesture.
Look, that is true. I mean, it is we're spreading ourselves so thin sometimes. It's amazing. And I do know people who, if you know, they're out for dinner together, then the phones go into a basket and they're put out with the waiter, and that they'll get them back at the end of the meal.
Still, Garen, good to have you on. You're as buoyant as ever, kiddo. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. I don't know how I do it in the morning. I
don't know how you do it either. How do we do it for the money? I tell you, for the price, dear listener.